go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Welcome to our radio program called Go Rebuild My Church. My name is Peter Doan, and along with my wife Leslie, we're excited to be with you here today as we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, Go Rebuild My Church, and how this theme is relevant to the church today. Leslie and I have recently launched a lay apostolate called Encounter Jesus Discipleship Ministries. You can learn more about us and our passion for renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 12 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church. And hopefully through the ministry of this radio program, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, as well as parishes, to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, we are actually in the middle of a series on the Great Commission, which is also called the Mission Statement for the Church. And we've been learning that the Great Commission involves two key important components, and that is evangelization and discipleship. These are vitally connected, like the two lungs of a healthy, breathing, alive individual Catholic Christian in a Catholic parish. We've covered evangelization, and now we're focusing on making disciples and what it looks like when individuals and parish ministries take seriously the Great Commission. 4 weeks ago, we introduced to our listening audience the seven pillars of Catholic discipleship. And Peter, for the benefit of our new listeners, could you take a moment to present those seven pillars to us again?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again for that, Leslie. I believe that there are seven pillars that can build the life of a Catholic disciple. And these seven pillars represent what we see in Scripture, the early church, and also the lives of the saints throughout the history of the church, even up into present day, Leslie. And they are these seven. First, encounter and re-encounter Jesus Christ. Second, study and learn the sacred Scripture. Third, develop a consistent prayer life. Four, receive the sacraments of penance and Eucharist regularly. Fifth, discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gifts. Sixth, conduct spiritual warfare. And finally, go and share your faith. We've seen, Leslie, that these seven pillars, haven't we, of Catholic discipleship, when they're practiced, it kind of creates like a discipleship culture that we've referred to, that it begins to take root, and this becomes a key to rebuilding and renewing the church for individuals, families, parishes, and even the church at large. As we previously stated and emphasized in our past broadcasts, it begins with the pillar number one, a deep and decisive personal encounter or re-encounter with the living Jesus Christ. We've mentioned often that Mary's our model with this, isn't she? Because she gave us the fiat or the yes. This is where we experience renewal, and then we move from being what we've talked about, cultural Catholicism, into intentional discipleship, which is sharing in the daily life of God Himself. Now, in our last broadcast, Leslie, we went through the fourth pillar, receive the sacrament of penance and Eucharist on a regular basis. We discovered that the sacraments were given to us by our Lord Jesus, and they bring to us what we referred to as sanctifying grace. That is the grace that allows us to share in the very life of the Trinity.
That's right, Peter. Last week we learned that there's a deep crisis in the American Catholic Church, as evidenced by a recent poll conducted by Pew Research. You shared some of the statistics with us. And in this poll, they asked some questions regarding the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, mm-hmm. and that the belief in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we also discussed how there's many Catholics who are not receiving the sacrament of penance on a regular basis. And these statistics represented a call to action for me personally, as well as hopefully for our listeners.
Yes, as we mentioned, going back to July of 2019, the Pew Research did a cross-section of what Americans in all different faith formations believed about their own religion. And when they came to the Catholics, they discovered that half the Catholics in the United States did not know that the Catholic Church teaches the Eucharist is actually the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Then the other half thought the church taught the Eucharist was just a symbol of Christ's body, and only 4% said they were unsure of what they taught. But remember, the most startling statistic that got everyone's attention, that only one-third of Catholics believe that the Eucharist is indeed the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What about the sacrament of penance?
Yeah, we alluded to that a little bit too, that the most recent data that at least I came up with, Leslie, goes back to 2008 with the group from Georgetown. But what that said was that about 45% of Catholics in the United States said they never went to confession, period, and others went mostly just once a year.
Once a year or
yeah.
less.
Mm-hmm.
You also shared a quote from Cardinal Timothy Dolan. This is from 2012 when he was the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And in this quote, he warned his fellow bishops that the sacrament was in peril. Those were the words he used.
Mm-hmm.
He said that this is following the Vatican II. It actually called for the renewal of the sacrament of penance, but rather than it being renewed, it was near disappearance.
Right. Right.
Unquote.
Yeah, that's quite a word, disappearance, when it comes to a sacrament, right?
Right.
So, and speaking of bishops, we went to and discussed what Bishop Barron said once these information came out in 2019. He said this, and I think it's worth repeating. He said, "This represents a massive failure, and I include myself in this. We're all guilty. A massive failure on the part of Catholic educators, catechists, evangelists, and teachers. If on this central matter of our belief and practice, there's this much deep misunderstanding, something has gone substantially wrong."
Well, these statistics are troubling. However, I believe, because I'm an optimist, that there's a remedy, and it is found in restoring our faith in the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, which is, as you know, the source and summit of our faith. And last week, I really liked our discussion about Augustine's Ditch, which you introduced to us last week. And can you tell us just a quick refresher on the ditch analogy, which really does lead us to the importance of the sacraments?
Yeah, so I learned this analogy from Father Dennis Robinson at St. Meinrad's, Leslie, in my theology class there. And he explained it this way. He said, before the fall, heaven and earth were really realms that were joined together. There was not a break between the two. And we see that when God walked with Adam and communicated with God immediately in the garden. When the fall came, there created a great chasm where God is and where we are in between those two realms. And this is what Augustine referred to as the ditch. Okay? And but then God immediately, out of his goodness, began to provide bridges between those two worlds. And throughout the Old Covenant, we see that he gave bridges through the covenants. There was the covenant with Adam, we call the Adamic covenant. Covenant with Noah, remember the rainbow, of course, the Noahic covenant. Also the covenant with Abraham, which was a blood covenant through circumcision. And finally, the covenant with Moses, and that were referred to as the Mosaic covenant. So Augustine put all this together, and he said to us that when Jesus Christ came, he gave us the ultimate bridge. Through, first of all, the incarnation of Jesus Christ himself. Secondly, he created the church. That's the concrete reality of that bridge. And then through the church, he gave us the sacraments, the means by which God brings about the fullness of all. And Augustine was said, you've got to have all three to experience the fullness of salvation.
Thank you, Peter, for that summary of Augustine's Ditch, and we're now going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll share the fifth pillar of discipleship, discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gifts.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we are discussing the command given to all the followers of Jesus Christ, and that is to make disciples of all nations. We've been learning how Jesus not only modeled disciple making, but also he first modeled for us how to be a disciple. So Peter, let's just jump into that fifth pillar of the Catholic of becoming a Catholic disciple, and that is to discover, develop, and to deploy our spiritual gifts. Why is this so important for us?
So Leslie, I've mentioned to you several times in preparing for this time together that I believe that this pillar of Catholic discipleship is probably the least understood and least spoken of and presented of in catechesis of all our pillars. So we're going to take some time today to really drill down into this and present some, I think it'll be some new material for many of our listeners. And let's start out according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The virtues help us live in accordance with reason and faith. That's in paragraph 1834 for those that want to check this out. And they also dispose us to live in relationship with the Holy Trinity. So why would I mention virtue in the context of the gifts? Well, it's for this reason, Leslie. The gifts of the Holy Spirit complete and perfect the virtues according to Catechism, paragraph 1831. So the gifts help us bring us to our destiny. So if we want a deeper relationship with God, Leslie, and want to become a disciple, learning about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and using them are going to help us in that regard. In terms of definition, there's two main categories of gifts in God's economy. The first category includes the seven gifts, which are found in Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3. And those are the gifts that most Catholics have heard of and are familiar with. There are these seven: piety, fortitude, knowledge, understanding, counsel, wisdom, and the fear of the Lord. You've heard those before, right, Leslie, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit enumerated in Isaiah?
Absolutely.
Okay. The primary function of these seven gifts, Leslie, is to purify us and to make us sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So this are given to us to begin to make us sensitive to the fact that there is even a Holy Spirit working in our lives. When the Catechism speaks about the gifts completing and perfecting the virtues, these are the gifts that the Catechism is referring to. But there's a second category of gifts that are called the charisms, or you've heard the word charismatic, that kind of puts them in a category. While the first category of gifts is more concerned with the individual sanctification and setting apart to God, this category is more focused on building up the body of Christ. And I think that there's a really good scripture to kind of get us into this, Leslie, and it's 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. And I want to just read it and make a couple observations. St. Peter says this: as each of us has received a gift, that Greek word there is charism, okay? Employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the oracles of God, and whoever renders service, as one who renders it by the strength which God supplies, in order that everything in God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of good things in there that I want to point out. First of all, where it says as each, that Greek word is heketos, which means each one. So it's not just a select group of people that have received these gifts of the Holy Spirit, these charisms, but each one implied in all of God's universal church. The word charism is a word that means gift, also gracious gift that implies that there's a giver, and we know that that's the Holy Spirit, and it's also a grace gift. And then finally, it talks about employ these gifts to serve one another, and that is a continual action. That word employ in the Greek is a present participle, which means keep on employing the gifts that God gave you.
Wow, Peter, that really gets me excited to know that each one of us, like you explained in the Greek, each one of us, that means not just the clergy, not just the religious, but all of us in the laity have received gifts from the Lord. And I really like the definition of charism, which means gift, gracious gift. It's mm-hmm. not based on anything we do to earn it. It's based on grace. It's a free gift from God.
Yeah.
So, Peter, we're going to talk a little bit now about church tradition. Can you help us understand this idea that is brought to us from St. Peter in the scriptures and what church tradition says about this?
All right, and because we're laying out some new material for many of us, Leslie, I think it's worth going to the catechism and seeing what the catechism, which is the church tradition, tells us about these charisms. In paragraph 799, first of all, we learn this, that charisms are graces of the Holy Spirit, which directly or indirectly benefit the church. So there's a great benefit. And of course, you know, the theme of our program is that we want to see the church rebuilt and renewed. And these gifts are directly connected with benefiting the church itself. Then in paragraph 800, we see this within that paragraph. It says, they are wonderfully rich grace. They are a wonderfully rich grace. That is the charisms for apostolic vitality. I like that phrase, apostolic vitality. It sounds like something that Pope Francis has talked to us about. And for the holiness of the entire body of Christ. So there's apostolic vitality and there's holiness that comes as these charisms become a part of our life. And it says that we keep them with charity, which is a really important thing, that in keeping with charity, these gifts operate, and that's the true measure of all charisms. So what that's saying, Leslie, is that these gifts operate through love. Isn't it interesting in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14? Chapter 12 introduces the gifts. Chapter 14 says how the gifts operate. But in the middle of that, St. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which I would say he's emphasized that the gifts must operate through love.
Okay, listeners, please stay with us now as we take another break. And when we return, we're going to find out what are the charisms of the Holy Spirit, and we'll continue to define them and practically look at how these charisms operate in the life of a Catholic disciple.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to today's broadcast. We are sharing the seven pillars of Catholic discipleship. In our last segment, we shared together how each of us have received special gifts called charisms from the Holy Spirit, and we discussed how these gifts are not earned and how we are expected to use them as good stewards in our walk with the Lord and in our journey to become disciples. Peter, could you continue to take us through the learning curve now and help us see the importance of incorporating these gifts into our spiritual lives?
Right, Leslie. I think probably we should first of all ask ourselves, shouldn't we? What are the charisms of the Holy Spirit that are in this in the New Testament writings? And there's at least 27 of these gifts that are listed in the scripture. And the references would be Acts chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians 12. Ephesians 4.
I didn't realize there were 27 gifts.
Yeah, and then they cover a broad range of gifts. In fact, even in 1 Corinthians 12, at the end of that, Paul lists 9 examples of these spirit manifestations, just as he ends that chapter. But let me just read some of these to you so that people can kind of get their selves encouraged and hungry to discover who they are in terms of the gifts of God. Administration, celibacy, craftsmanship, discernment of spirits is one, encouragement, evangelism, faith, giving. And hopefully, audience, as you're listening to these, you can say, hey, I think that might be me. Healing, helps, which is a real important one. Hospitality, intercessory prayer, knowledge, leadership, mercy, missionary work, music, pastoring, prophecy, service, and teaching, and wisdom. So that's quite a bit to digest there, and I know I rattled those off, but again, my desire and our desire, Leslie, is to get people to start thinking about who they are when it comes to giftedness in God. I think it would be good if we really broke down some of what the Catechism said to continue to help people look at these gifts, Leslie. So first of all, with the charisms, the Catechism focuses us on our personal cooperation is needed in order to discover them. What does that mean to cooperate? To be received, first of all, with thanksgiving and consolation. So that kind of has to do in our prayer life, doesn't it?
That's right. You need to be praying about this.
Yeah. Begin to pray and say, Lord, please show me the giftings that you've put in my life. Then also the Catechism tells us that each person is to have knowledge of and discern his or her own charisms. And when it comes to that, there's different gift inventories. Sherry Waddell in her workshop called Called and Gifted has a great tools to help people to kind of unpack and look at what is operating in their own personal life. The Catechism implies that we all have a quote right and duty to use these charisms. In other words, like we don't need to have permission from anybody because God's given us permission to both receive the gifts and use them. And we're called to be active and co-responsible for those gifts as well. And then finally, when it comes to these gifts, it enables each person to make a unique contribution to the kingdom of God. And that makes people feel pretty good, don't you think?
Yes. So all this has to do with how we can cooperate with God when it comes to discerning our own charisms. But what are some characteristics? How can we recognize these charisms?
Yeah, that's good. So some of the characteristics that go along with these charisms, first of all, it's a long-term process. Okay. In other words, these charisms can be developed. For instance, let's say somebody had a gift of healing. Okay, they may, as a young person, develop that, but over decades, they can learn more and more how that gift is utilized and how they can bring it to their family, the groups, their parish, and the wider range of Catholic Christians and disciples. Also, an important characteristic of a charism is it produces results above and beyond personal strength. In other words, this is not like we have to strain at the gifts, but the gifts operate out of the grace and strength of the Holy Spirit, and He produces the fruit. Also, with the characteristic of the charisms, we need to remember that they're chosen by God. We don't choose the gifts that we have. They providentially are received from God Himself.
So I'm really interested, Peter, in how I can discern my own charisms. That was one of the points that you made above. How do I distinguish a charism then from a natural talent or strength or ability?
Well, that's really good because, you know, in our parish, we had a workshop that operated regularly on strength finders. And that kind of inventory kind of will focus on those which come naturally to us. It's in our DNA. We may have received it from our parents. Charisms are not like that. Charisms are not inherited. They're given by the Holy Spirit, activated through baptism and confirmation, which is really important. Also, charisms enable us to be an agent of God for others, whereas natural talent sometimes can be used for our own selves and for our own interests as well. Also, a natural talent can be used for bad, for evil, whereas charisms, the true charisms, are always for good and always producing good fruit. In the life of a Catholic disciple Christian, these natural talents and the charisms can work together.
So, Peter, if I'm operating in a charism, how do I know that this is being manifested in my life?
And this is good too. So because we want to know now, is this a gift or is this a natural talent that's happening with me? First of all, Leslie, there is a Holy Spirit energy that is released. You know, look at the Gospels when Jesus released his gifts of healing or just what he brought to all the people. There was joy and excitement, and there was a lightness that came into that which was heavy as a result of sickness or disease or those oppressions. Also, when we manifest a gift, we begin to see that we have found our place. So there's a part of our identity that's caught up in recognizing these gifts and seeing them operate. They become fruitful. We don't, as I mentioned, we don't have to struggle in our giftings. They come through the strength of the Holy Spirit. And finally, these charisms are released not based on our timetable, but the Holy Spirit is the one who pulls the switch on our charisms.
Well, I was thinking about times in my life when I experienced the operation of a gift, and it was shortly after we lost our first child, and I had been diagnosed with a pre-existing condition, a congenital birth defect that was affecting my ability to carry a baby to term, and someone gave us an encouraging word. And it was a prophetic word from the scriptures, and in that word, there was a burst of Holy Spirit energy that really encouraged us. Peter, can you read that word for us from your scriptures very quickly?
I can remember it like yesterday, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And that was a game changer for you and I.
Yeah, that was a gift of encouragement that was someone was operating in their gifting, and it just absolutely lifted us up out of a dark place.
Yeah, that testimony is a good one to end on today, Leslie. So this fifth pillar of discipleship is a key to rebuilding and renewing the Catholic Church. It's a spiritual brick and mortar. Next week, we will continue to pursue understanding the charisms by a guest speaker, Tom Ponchek, who leads a new ministry called Encounter. Thanks for joining us today, everyone, as we seek to connect individuals and parishes to the Great Commission. To hear our past programs, go to catholicradio.indy.org and press the big blue button at the top left corner. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye, everyone. God bless and keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.